Hello, everybody. With Bob Gustafer, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to discuss it with you. Again, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. We invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Gustafer.
Well, thank you, Bob. And you heard a new name mentioned in the list of those of us here in the studio. Andrew Farley joins us today as a member of the Basic Gospel Radio team. And Andrew, welcome. This has been a long-awaited day for us, and we're glad you're with us today.
Welcome indeed.
Hey, thank you, guys. It's great to be with you as a part of the team, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it is going to be a lot of fun. Tell us a little bit of your story and our connection. We've been friends for many years and been involved with each other for many years. But tell the listeners a little bit of your story and why the grace of God is so vitally important to you.
Yeah, you know, I was about 18 years old, and I was new to the university world. I had just come out of a Christian high school, and I basically felt like a black sheep in God's family. I'd had a chapel service that I was attending every single week from kindergarten to 12th grade. And basically, every chapel service, it seemed like the speaker, wherever they would start, it would always end with do more and be more. Do more, be more, love more, do more, be more. And so that was just ingrained in our minds. And we were never doing enough. And so week after week, we would rededicate and recommit and go down the aisle. And many of those kids, I mean, seemed like they were getting saved 3 and 4 and 5 times over and over and over, so to speak, or they thought they were. And, it just perpetuated a cycle of trying harder and never feeling like you got anywhere, and then the guilt and the condemnation and that whole vicious cycle of religious hoops. And so, coming to the end of that really happened for me in college. Bob, I was in college, and I said, I'm really going to give this one real shot like I've never done before. And so I was in church every time that the doors were open. I was in halfway houses and jails and prisons doing ministry. I was on the streets of Greece and Italy doing street evangelizing, and I was reading my Bible literally, without exaggeration, 4 or 5 hours a day. And if I went to bed at night and recalled my lack of service in any way, well, I would get up and go to a 24-hour grocery store and find somebody that was still awake at that hour in order to share Christ with them so that I could feel better, so that I could sleep. And, you say, gosh, that's insane. It's so intense. But really, all I was doing was living out that formula that had been given to me. And so I crashed and burned and, had to take time off from college and go look for answers. And then all I did was argue with the Christian counselors. I would tell them, hey, you need to be out on the streets like me. What's wrong with your commitment? And then I'd go home miserable that night again and again and again. And eventually I just hit rock bottom, was looking for answers. And really, it was the New Covenant message that you guys proclaim and that I see so prevalent in the book of Hebrews in particular, in the book of Romans. It just liberated me, changed my life. It was not a lightning bolt out of heaven, but it was about 10 years of replacing old thoughts with new thoughts and getting my mind renewed. And we're all under construction, but I'll tell you, that 10-year period, God used that to just save me from religious insanity. And now I feel, grounded in Jesus Christ like I never imagined was even possible.
Well, Drew, that's an amazing, amazing story. I mean, you took the do more message to heart. And you were doing probably more than anybody that you had ever met, and probably anybody that we could meet as well. But that just isn't the gospel, is it?
Well, it took, Bob, exactly. It took that extreme, I guess, for God to get the message to me. I needed to be desperate And I needed to be convinced that there wasn't any other way. My formula involved me, my effort, my self-inspection, my self-improvement, my self-cleansing. And, you know, I never arrived and I was never okay and I could never do enough. And, you know, what the basic gospel message is, what you guys have been proclaiming for decades, is that it's not about, you know, the individual. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and his track record, his performance on the cross and through the resurrection. And yeah, it's just like we got to get our minds off of ourselves and put them somewhere else. And that's really not very traditional teaching. It's not very it's not very popular. It seems like the popular teaching is now that you're saved, do your best to inspect yourself, improve yourself for Jesus because he's watching. And instead, we need to be watching Jesus. It's totally the polar opposite.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joins the team today. We're so glad to have him. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. We have a special offer this month. It is Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War. It goes hand in glove with our topic for the month, spiritual warfare, and certainly Drew's story, I think, points to the seriousness of the battle that we face, and it's a battle for truth. Are we going to rest in the truth of the gospel, or are we going to listen to those contrary voices and be led astray from the simple, powerful, life-changing message of Jesus Christ? But join us today, 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you on today's program. Well, let's go talk to Gil, listening to us in Queens, New York on WMCA. Hi, Gil.
Hi, welcome again, and welcome to your guest. I just want to share the gospel in light of people listening all over, how much we need a Savior, and how Savior changes everything. But one of the things that we need to come in contact with is Scripture, you know, where Paul says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I think of Ecclesiastes 7, I think it's verse 20, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good. And also Psalm 51, verse 5, where it says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But the greatest news is Matthew 1:21 and John 3:16, where Matthew 1:21 says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then John 3:16 really changed my life, where Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And sometimes when I witness to people, I try to say to them, for God so, I take their name and then share that scripture with them, you know, and what does that mean to you, you know, and stuff like that, and just be an encouragement to people. Even though I'm not able to see, I just love to bring people to the light. You know, I'm blind, in case your guest doesn't know. You know, I walk by faith and not by sight.
Well, Gil, that's important stuff, and we all need a Savior, don't we?
Yes, yes. There is no other name, Acts 4:12 says, given among men whereby we must be saved anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think that's exactly what you were saying at the beginning, is that you know, we're so focused on ourselves, we're so focused
right.
on sin management. Right. That we forget why God sent Jesus. And that really is the spiritual battle that we're in, the battle to keep our eyes on him and what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, Gil, as always, it's great to hear from you.
Yes, and one more thing I wanted to share, in case there are new listeners that are just listening, another verse, how God takes, for example, a caterpillar and turns it into a beautiful butterfly. Think of 2 Corinthians Metamorphosis. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it's a great journey and a great plan, like Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And the gospel is our hope and our future, eternal life.
Yes, indeed, Gil. Well, thank you so much, as always, and we love hearing from you.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I send you and your guests and everyone there a big electronic sheep hug.
Okay. And, thanks, and it's coming right back to you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Hi, Bob Davis.
Hey, Gil. Good to hear from you, brother.
Amen. God bless.
1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. If you have something you'd like to discuss, we'd love to discuss it with you. Again, 1-800-677-9377. And Bob mentioned Andrew's book a few moments ago, Operation Screwtape. And we have one for you. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to get yours, simply go to basicgospel.net, and you'll find a prominent link on the homepage. And if you watch the roll-through there, you'll see Andrew's pretty picture pop up there from time to time. So we encourage you to do that as well. Basicgospel.net for Operation Screwtape. Or if you would like, you can speak with our operator by calling 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. During Central Time office hours for a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, for a gift of any amount to the ministry.
Yeah, we would certainly appreciate that. And Andrew, as far as this resource is concerned, you organized it around, I think, John 10:10, where it talks about the thief. The purpose of the thief is to steal, to kill, and destroy. How do you see that as a big part of the spiritual warfare that we experience?
Well, I think a lot of Christians feel robbed. I mean, you know, we talk about how we came to Christ with such great hopes for what that relationship would look like. And then in many ways, we feel robbed. We feel bankrupt. You know, I reached that point for sure of spiritual bankruptcy. I said, God, you know, I'm doing everything they say to do. What's wrong? Where did I go wrong here? And, so, you know, the enemy is active and comes to steal. And I would say that a lot of Christians do feel robbed, like, where's my joy? Where's this peace that passes understanding? Jesus said his yoke was easy and light. You know, this doesn't feel easy or light. So what's going on? And, you know, I've lived through that, and I know what that's like. I can relate to that for sure. And Operation Screwtape, you know, you're looking at the enemy's strategy. It's like the enemy's playbook. And so you're peering in on, you're eavesdropping on the enemy's strategies and plans with a believer. And the Bible says that we have an enemy that accuses us day and night. And, you know, Paul says don't ask young believers to take positions of leadership too early or too quickly because they may find themselves succumbing to the condemnation of the devil. So you see there that we've got an accuser and we've got a condemner who's going to try to make people feel not qualified, not able, not equipped. And so, you know, it's one thing to be aware of the enemy. I guess it's another thing to know what to do in response. And, you know, Operation Screwtape is designed to help us see how we can respond in those situations and how we can believe differently and how that translates into some real spiritual and mental and emotional healing.
Absolutely. And we want to put it in your hands. It's a wonderful resource. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Well, let's go talk to Eugene, who's listening to us in Brooklyn, New York on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, how you guys doing? How's everyone?
We're doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Same here. I have a question, and this question is regarding the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day is on a Saturday. But we as Christians, we worship on a Sunday. And I went into the Word of God to find out exactly why, you know, why we worship on Sundays and the Sabbath day that God gave Moses was on the Sabbath. And I want to find your answer. But what I take from that is a couple of verses. I think when Christ was speaking, and Christ healed the man, and then the Jewish leaders told Christ, why did you do this on the Sabbath day? And then Christ told them that I'm just going to show you, before he healed the man, he said, I'm going to show you that the Son of Man has authority over the Sabbath day. And then he healed the man. And then in the book of Acts, well, before that, the Apostle Paul was speaking, I think, in Galatians. And he was telling the people of Galatians, he says that you already got the Spirit pretty much from me. Now, why are you going back to, like, appointed days and appointed holiday, and he did say appointed day. I was taking that as the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a couple more verses I found, but I just wanted to know you guys' take on that.
Well, Eugene, it's an excellent question. And Andrew, how would you address that?
Well, yeah, you know, Colossians 2, verse 16 talks about this. It says, therefore, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, or a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. So you see right there in Colossians 2:16 that Paul is saying, hey, this Sabbath day thing is not something that we should be lording over other people or making them observe. Hey, Colossians, you're not Jewish. You're Gentiles. And so don't let anybody judge you with regard to this. And so, you know, there is a Sabbath rest. Hebrews 4:9 talks about the Sabbath rest that we have in Christ, but that's a spiritual rest. And so, you know, the bottom line is the Sabbath was part of the law. It was one of the Ten Commandments, and the Bible's pretty clear on that. It says that Christians are dead to the law, not under the law, not supervised by the law. Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. And there's no asterisk there for the Sabbath. In other words, that's not an exception. We're free from the Sabbath and dead to the Sabbath and not under the Sabbath. And Christ is the end of the Sabbath for all those who believe. So every day really belongs to the Lord, and we have freedom. And, you know, the church celebrates on Sunday just because historically that's the day that was chosen. And I guess really it's a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And it has nothing to do with the Jewish law, which we're totally dead to. Does that help?
Right. That helps. That's, you know, that's perfect, because I did come up with that myself, that Christ was resurrected on, and he rose on a Sunday. And as Christians, you know, I know that we are not under the law, because Christ was the fulfillment of the law. I just wanted to, you know, because I ministered to a lot of different people, and some people, let's say, are Jews. I just wanted to really understand these things, so when I speak to them, I can tie Christ right from, because Christ is all over the Old Testament, you know, mm-hmm. So I just like to go in and find these things out. But you guys have been a blessing. I love your show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, one more thought I had is, you know, as you're conversing with different Jewish people and friends of yours, you might also try to find things that you have in common, not just things that you don't have in common. Of course, you might disagree about the Sabbath, but now if they're Jewish believers, then you have something that you agree on regarding the blood of Christ. And I guess I want to encourage you to try to build as many bridges as you can in discussing the blood of Christ and the once-for-all forgiveness, the total forgiveness we have through Jesus that is different from the blood of bulls and goats. And you know, we can argue with people about days and celebrations and festivals and all that stuff, but really it's the identity and work of Jesus that is the core. And so you try to build bridges, you know, with all the things that you can discuss, and let those days and festivals and celebrations sort of be a secondary matter. Just thought I'd share that with you too, brother.
Right, and that's so accurate, because I do speak about the blood, like how they, on Passover, how they put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, and I was telling them that this represented, it was a shadow of what was to come, relating to Christ's blood on the cross. You know, and it's really good. It's really effective. Thank you so much.
Well, Eugene, thanks for your call today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of Andrew's book, The Art of Spiritual War. I think you'll really appreciate that. And tell your friends about the program, okay?
All right. God bless you.
Okay.
You, thanks so much.
You hold the line. Guys, Eugene, I think, really hit on something. As the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 10 of his letter, the law is a shadow. And Richard, you've kind of coined a phrase, you know, we continually try to live in the shadows instead of coming out of those shadows and experiencing the reality of new life in Christ Jesus. And I think that's one of the central things that Satan tries to attack. He tries to keep us in the shadows.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead of coming out and experiencing all that we can through faith in Jesus Christ.
There's nothing in the context of Sabbath. There's nothing sadder to me than people who try to keep Sunday as if it was a new kind of Sabbath. That is just so double-minded and tragic. It really is tragic. And if they understood the rest that Andrew was talking about, now it's 24/7 and you're in the presence of God that whole time. What else can you do but worship all that time? Even as you're, you know, mowing the lawn or working at work or whatever you do, it's a completely different thing than being under law.
Absolutely. And Andrew, I think that's one of the things you're talking about as far as our enemy tries to rob us of that rest that we can have in Christ. How have you seen that through, you know, you speak to churches all across the country, you host a broadcast on Sunday afternoons, you're a pastor of a church out in Lubbock. How have you seen that aspect carried out in so many people's lives in this spiritual warfare?
Well, you know, people don't even associate rest with Christianity. I mean, it's really sad. They almost run away from the word rest. They say rest. We don't have any time to rest. We got to be world changers here. And the paradox, the spiritual paradox, is that the fruit of the Spirit comes from rest. I mean, you examine the fruit of the Spirit. If we do a little bit of fruit inspection here, we've got love and gentleness and kindness. Those things don't come out of stress and working hard and doing your best. I mean, that's not what produces love and gentleness and kindness and peace. You know, that fruit, that comes from a place of rest. And so there's a paradox there. But, you know, it seems like the average Christian is hearing the do more and be more message, do more, be more, love more, do your best, and God will be impressed. And the reality is that maybe we have to come to the end of what we think is our own resources and realize that, whoa, you know, apart from him, I can do nothing. And so I really just need to relax in him and enjoy him. And strangely, fruit comes from that.
Yeah, that is a paradox. I grew up thinking and hearing, you know, look at what Jesus has done for you. Now, what can you go and do for him?
The very least you could do is.
Yeah, and like you said, you get into this idea of doing more for the Lord. I mean, my goodness, look at all that he's done for you.
Yeah.
But you never rest. You know, he's put this great meal on the table, and you're thinking, wow, he's done all of this work to cook and prepare, and, you know, what can I do for him? And you never sit down and enjoy the meal. And Jesus is saying, sit down, enjoy the meal, enjoy this relationship, rest. That's the first destination that God wants to take us in this new covenant journey, is to that place of rest in him. And until we get there, this Christian life is really a struggle. Well, Andrew, it's been a great first day with you for our listenership. You will hear Andrew on this broadcast once every week. Wednesday is the targeted day, but some weeks it may be another day of the week. But Andrew, we're thrilled to have you as a part of the Basic Gospel team.
Yeah,
thank you,
stuff,
my friend.
Yeah.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. A reminder that this ministry is totally listener-supported, and we need your ongoing help to keep Basic Gospel on the air. For your gift of any amount today, we have a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator. That's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. To stay up to date with late news about the ministries and upcoming conferences and other events, and information about new resources to aid your understanding of life in Jesus Christ, join our email list. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net. Also want to remind you that all of the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our website at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about the program. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley, and the Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.